A change of seasons means adventures in rain, shine, mist, or snow, or all of the above on the same day. This season, prepare for every season with the Allbirds Mizzle Collection. With all-condition traction and materials and features to keep you comfy and dry no matter what, you'll be ready for anything. Go to allbirds.com and use code FRESHSOCKS for a free pair of socks with your purchase. ALLBIRDS.com, code FRESHSOCKS.
Hello and welcome back to episode 3 of KSR's Know Her Name podcast. I'm Grant Grubbs. I cover Kentucky women's basketball for KSR. My co-host here is Alex White, Kentucky women's basketball analyst. Today we got a lot to discuss. There's been 3 games since our last podcast. Additionally, about 15 minutes here into the podcast, we're going to be interviewing Maddie Shear, first year Wildcat, but actually a junior who transferred in from Oregon. She's been huge this year for Kentucky. She's averaging 10.9 points, 5.5 rebounds, and 4.8 assists a game, which is actually leading the SEC. And to pile on, she's averaging the most blocks for the Wildcats. So she's having an okay year, I'd say. To close it out, we're going to do some predictions for the upcoming games. But before we get too far down the road, let's jump back and discuss some of the past couple games. So, Alex, what have you thought about the past 3 games since our last podcast?
A lot of positives from the last 2 games. Auburn obviously did not go the way that, we hope, but honestly how I feel like it should have gone. That was definitely kind of our game for the taking, in my opinion, at least. And, I mean, we did catch them at a bad time. They had just come off their first SEC win, a big win over Ole Miss too, which is one of the best teams in the SEC. So we kind of caught them at a time where their confidence was at probably all-time high for the SEC play at least. And I still feel like we should have got them, but the last 2, I can't be happier with the effort that they put in.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Auburn is a tough one. I was really confident for this team going into that one. It sucks that they fell so short and there were some questionable things there at the end. And I wrote after that game, you know, I don't see a way up from here for the team, but they've obviously thrown that back in my face with their past 2 performances.
Yeah, I was honestly so worried about the same thing, like just coming off of a loss like that, where it's really a team that not only you should have won, but one of the teams at the bottom of the SEC along with us at the time. So I was scared too, because I mean, obviously we had already lost to Missouri, so we were going into that game next. Wasn't sure what our mindset would be, and then we go play the best team in the nation by far, who we also had already lost to. That game made me really nervous, but I love the way they responded against Missouri. I mean, that really wasn't a game from start to finish. And I mean, props to the players for coming out with a vengeance from that. I mean, they definitely avenged that loss, at Rupp. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it was a week and a half ago now on January 29th, they beat them. It was 77-54. I mean, not close. I think in my opinion, it was Kentucky women's basketball's by far best performance of the season. They were 8-15 from beyond the arc. They shot like 53% from the field. I mean, they were just fire the whole entire night. And to go back just 30 days before, they'd lost by 3 points to them. I mean, that's a 26-point difference. You can't really ask for much more.
Absolutely. And I mean, some of the things that kind of jumped out at me there was, I mean, we forced 22 turnovers, which is incredible. Honestly, about our average, though, of what we're forcing, but still a bit. I mean, that's a lot of turnovers to force. And you could tell just by watching, like, you could see how much they were forcing at the time.
And that's also a massive step up for SEC play.
Absolutely. Like, it looks like they only had 1 player that even scored in double figures, and it was their post player, which is kind of where we struggled defending this season. So, I mean, to only have 1 of their players, though, even hit double figures is also impressive in itself.
For sure. And, you know, we always talk about all the guards, but that Missouri win was kind of the start of a resurgence for the Kentucky's bigs. Nye Leveretter had 8.6 rebounds. Attaboy Adeyeye did her thing. You know, that is going to be massive moving forward for this team, and they proceeded to show that against South Carolina as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I definitely think we use that momentum going into South Carolina because, I mean, South Carolina is just so dominant this year, and we've already had to face them once. We played them close for three quarters of the game. So, I mean, I really thought going into that game, I mean, I was nervous because I'm like, I know we just came off that Missouri, but I mean, South Carolina, I mean, they have one of the toughest schedules in the country and continue to win these games. So I was nervous.
It doesn't help when last time you're there three quarters. So maybe there's this hint in Don Staley's mind that I'm going to just blow these people out to show them that, you know, they don't deserve to be on the court with us. But once again, Kentucky was right there through three quarters. They ended up falling 87-69. But that's still an 11-point jump from their last time they played them. So once again, they're showing improvement.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, honestly, as crazy as this sounds, unless you're one of the top teams in the nation, I think a lot of teams would be happy with it if you keep it within 20 against South Carolina, just because, I mean, they're so big and they're so good. Like, they are just so talented. I mean, they still haven't lost since we beat them in SEC play last season. So, I mean, I don't know. That's a big game to come out and perform the way that we did.
Yeah, and really, you know, people will be like, well, you're gratifying them for losing by 20. But at the end of the day, you have to look at it like you said. When you look at the stats, before the UConn game, which is South Carolina's most recent win, Kentucky had scored the two most points. Both of their games was the most points a team had scored against them in a regulation game. So you got to take wins where you can. You know, you can't expect when they have 6'7" Cardoso, 6'5" Boston, you're going to go out there and pull off this upset. You got to keep it realistic. But you got to take wins where you can, especially against South Carolina.
Yeah. And I mean, just for people who aren't super familiar with South Carolina, just to tell you like how much talent they truly have. They literally scored 48 points off the bench alone. So just their subs scored 48 points in that game. And they had 12 different players that scored points in that game. And that wasn't just from coming in at the end and scoring. I mean, like, they had legit 12, but we didn't even play 12 players in the game total. So they have 12 players that are able to score, and we can't even, I mean, produce that much on the floor. So definitely overmatched, but I thought that we played as best as you could want against a team like that.
For sure. Well, you know, past those two recaps and just looking at general storylines, Alex, what have you kind of seen from this team recently that you think's led to that uptick in play?
I definitely think something that you kind of mentioned earlier, which is the post play, that's definitely kind of stepped up. And then just how many turnovers we continue to force. We forced, again, 18 against South Carolina, which is way over their average. I think they averaged like 13 turnovers a game. We just continue bringing the defensive intensity that you could hope from our team, really.
Yeah. And specifically, we won the turnover battle against South Carolina, forcing 18 out of them, us only committing 17, which you just don't see happen.
No.
I think additionally on top of that, it's been a little bit about three-point shooting, you know, on the other side of the ball. Early on in this season, I mean, I think at one point we were like 20% from three. I mean, it was historically bad. And lately they've been really knocking it down. Over the past two games, they're 14-32 from the field. Matty Shear, Robin Benton, they're just on fire right now, which they're going to need that to continue.
Absolutely. And I think their confidence continues to go up as they keep seeing it go through too. I think Robin's been not hesitant to shoot threes all season long, but Maddie at times has been a little hesitant. And I think just continuing to see it go through the net has helped her to continue taking those shots.
for sure. And, you know, it's only easier when you can just stay out there and continue to get your rhythm. Coach Elzey's been tightening the rotations lately. And I Russell, I think, has only played 8 minutes over the past two games. Asia Petty really only got in against South Carolina due to foul trouble. She didn't really play against Missouri. You know, we're starting to see that kind of March lineup form, and it's definitely guard reliant, but the guards are, you know, meeting the expectations.
Absolutely. Yeah, they definitely have been continuing to exceed their own expectations too, I think. So hopefully we can keep with that. And what has been your kind of thoughts? I know Blair Green lately has kind of, I mean, I think she's really stepped it up. What's your thoughts on how she's been doing lately?
I mean, she's back and then some. You know, she was coming back from the Achilles injury, obviously. And that takes time. I think a lot of people want to rush her into it. But Kyra Elzey said all season during press conferences, she has to, like, remind Blair that she needs to relax, take some days off. And I think maybe taking some of that pressure off has helped Blair finally reach the place she needs to be. She's shooting with absolute confidence right now.
Yeah, definitely. And just feel like her offense is kind of also driving her almost every other component of the game. I feel like she's really just kind of let it all come to her. And yeah, like you said, I mean, I think we're just hitting that point where she's fully back. Maybe wasn't there all season, but now she's definitely gotten there.
Yeah, for sure. Well, with all that said, unless you have anything else, Alex, why don't we hop in to talk to one of these Kentucky guards, Maddie Shear, and kind of see her thoughts on the season so far and maybe discuss some other stuff. What do you think?
Yeah, let's do it. All right, perfect. Well, welcome, Maddie. Thanks for coming on. Just to get things started, so we had Robin on our last episode, and she told us that you were the most competitive on the team and the teammate that she would want next to her during a fight. It seems like we almost got to see if the reverse was true in that South Carolina game, but where does that kind of competitiveness come from?
Oh, geez. I don't know. I bet my mom and dad would fight it out about that one, about who gives you that competitive nature. But definitely just kind of raised in a family where sports was a big part of my life. I have an older brother who never took anything easy on me with sports. So that definitely played into my competitive nature for sure, too.
You know, you mentioned your parents a little bit there, Maddie. Or I think it was last or two games ago, we heard you talk about your dad who sits up in the top of the arena. I know, like, halfway through the season, you switched from not wearing an undershirt, or from wearing an undershirt to not wearing an undershirt. Is there, like, superstition in the family? Is that just, you know, hoping for good things? What is that?
No, I wouldn't say there's superstition. I actually say I'm, like, not a superstitious person, which is kind of funny, but more the shirt thing was kind of just random. But no, yeah, my dad has actually always sat away from my mom and sister and grandma, the rest of the family, like since I was in probably the fourth grade. He's just a very, you know, wants to watch the game quietly and not be bugged. You know, now that I'm back home, you know, a lot of people we know, so it's kind of hard for them to kind of just watch sometimes. So yeah.
And yeah, so you did come home, obviously being from Kentucky, and I remember back in high school, you winning virtually every award possible, from Miss Kentucky Basketball to Kentucky Gatorade Player of the Year, State Tournament MVP, all of those awards. How's it feel being back in the state?
Oh, it's been so great. I mean, just being able to have, like, all my family be able to come to my games, and, you know, friends from high school and different people, friends of my parents that are just able to, you know, pop out at a game randomly. I think I've had, you know, like, somebody at every home game that, you know, I haven't seen in such a long time. So it's just great. Stuff like that is really, you know, such a driving factor of, like, enjoying being home and, you know, just playing, being able to play for my hometown it's such a great feeling. So.
Yeah, Maddie, there were, like, rumors and talk of you coming to Kentucky for so long. Was there actually, like, decisive moment that you knew you were coming to UK?
I definitely knew I wanted to come home after I put my name in the transfer portal. but you know, just having conversations with Coach LZ, like as I was in the portal, I feel like I kind of knew in my heart pretty early on. I was like, okay, I think I know Kentucky's the place for me. So, but I wouldn't say there was like a definitive moment that was like, oh, I'm going to go here, but more so just more conversations with Coach LZ and really, you know, her believing in me, and I'm really, you know, buying into her and what she's got this program looking like. So, yeah.
So what would you say was the biggest kind of like adjustment going from Pac-12 to the SEC?
Definitely the athleticism at the guard position is definitely the main difference that I would say in the Pac-12 and the SEC. I was, you know, at Oregon, my main job was like, one of my main jobs was to just lock up the best guard on the other team. And it's funny because now I have someone like Jada Walker, who it's like, you know, there's tons of girls who are way more athletic and quicker than me who, you know, Jada has that job now. So I think it's just interesting to see that it's kind of, that was kind of that way across the whole league. So,
You know, another kind of difference I'm sure at Kentucky is all these weird kind of interesting team building things you all do with boxing lessons and smashing rooms. I don't know, but what have you all thought of those? Do you kind of look forward to them now? And is there any particular moments where you feel like you've actually bonded as a team because of those?
Oh, for sure. There have been many times where we've really bonded as a team because of them. And, you know, that's with 10 new girls, that's a really important thing to, you know, try and make happen. And I think Coach LZ and, you know, Kentucky really has a cool way of doing that. But that is a different part to the transfer. I know I went to Oregon, it was kind of COVID, so you know, we were restricted by a bunch of rules and stuff like that, but so it's new for me anyway. To even the class stuff, just being a regular student athlete is really new for me this year, but it's been a great great process. So,
and then another kind of adjustment lately, I mean, going back to high school, even I remember you being like an elite scorer, but like it always seemed like you were almost a pass first kind of player. Lately, you've had to take on like a really big scoring role as well, also racking up the assists. But has that been kind of like a hard adjustment? Obviously, you've had that in you, but has that been hard to kind of get yourself to shoot a lot more, take a lot more shots?
I will say, I mean, since I've been playing basketball, that's kind of been my biggest thing is, like you said, I'm kind of just a pass first mindset type of person. So, you know, I've heard my whole life you need to shoot more. And, you know, it is adjustment for me trying to, you know, keep remembering to stay aggressive and keep shooting. But, you know, kind of like in high school, like I can, and that's what the team needs from me, then I'm going to do that. So,
yeah, you know, Coach LZ actually a few games back said kind of like, I think she said the moment she told you to stop worrying so much about scoring seemed like when you kind of had this offensive explosion. Was that coincidence, or did you feel like this kind of weight was lifted off your shoulders?
Yeah, I think there was definitely that pressure of like, you know, we had had conversations and, you know, we started getting to SEC play, competition started getting harder. And, you know, in the beginning, it's not like you needed to be shooting 15 shots a game and making half of them, but you know, kind of that pressure just kind of built up. And I'm like, gosh, like I need to be able to get into a rhythm. Yeah. And, you know, me and Coach Elsie had that talk and she's like, you don't have to worry about it. Like it's going to come. And then I think maybe the South Carolina game or LSU game was kind of after that. And then it was kind of just from there, just everything kind of fell into place, you know, shots start falling eventually. So.
Absolutely. And so we'll wrap it up here soon. I think Grant has some quick hitters after this, but just last final, like real question. I know there's a ton of middle school and high school kids in Kentucky that really look up to you as a player. What's like a piece of advice you would give to some of those young players that maybe want to play at the next level?
I think the main thing I would say is just to believe in yourself. You got to be the first person to be like, hey, I'm the best player on this court. And I think the most successful players go in with that mindset, and the mental side of the game is just as important as, you know, your capabilities on the floor. So,
well, Maddie, I guess just to wrap it up here, we'll do some kind of quick 4 or 5 rapid fire questions, and hopefully you can rattle them back here at us. So the first one to do is, which teammate on the team do you text the most?
That would probably be Kennedy. She texts me a lot, so that's kind of
maybe a one-way interaction there.
Okay, the second question is, who is your funniest coach?
Funniest coach, Coach Amber. Every time I look at her, she's always making me laugh. So.
Would you rather have a 6 a.m. practice or a 9 p.m. practice?
Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh. 9 p.m. I am not a morning person.
Who is the toughest one-on-one player to guard on your team during practices?
One-on-one? Probably say Jada. Those little quick guards, man.
And the final question is, if you had to describe your game using one word, what would you use?
Fiery.
That's a great answer. Well, I think that's, Alex, unless you have anything else, I think that's all we have.
Yeah, I think that's it. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah,
thanks, guys.
Do it again sometime. We appreciate it for sure.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
All right. Thank you guys for joining us back here. And hopefully you enjoyed that interview with a little bit of insight from Maddie Shear. Now we're going to look into Kentucky's next two games. On Thursday, they're taking on Alabama, which is a big one, right, Alex?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the top teams in the conference.
Yeah, Alabama is 6-4 in conference play, and they're actually fifth in the conference. But, you know, that's not that far off. Kentucky's competed with teams better than that, and even Missouri is kind of right in that type of area. So it's not a crazy contest. It's not like you're facing number one or number two LSU. I mean, it's very winnable.
Yeah, their record is a lot better than us in SEC play, but if you really look into it, I mean, three of their losses are from the top three teams in the conference in South Carolina, LSU, and Tennessee. And then their other one is to Missouri. So, I mean, that's a team that we just came out and dominated. So, despite them being at the top and their record being as good as it is, I definitely think that that is definitely a winnable game for us, depending on how we come out and play.
Absolutely, yeah. I would predict, I mean, in Memorial, I could very well see us winning by 4 or 5 points. I think it's going to be a close one. But with the way the team's playing right now, I can see them winning. I think it's going to be key. It's just getting those turnovers, like you mentioned earlier. If they can get out and get that energy going in Memorial Coliseum, I think they pull this one out with relative comfort.
Yeah, I agree. I think that probably 5 mark is about where I would put it to, 4 or 5 points. I think it will be pretty close. And I could even see it being kind of a game of runs where they go on a run. We hopefully respond with the runs, that sort of thing. But I mean, definitely, I feel like the momentum that we have going into this game, I feel like it's on our side, honestly, going into it.
For sure. And then obviously following that, they have Ole Miss, who's another similar but even better opponent. They're 8-3 in conference play, fourth in the conference, coming just behind Tennessee. This is honestly, I feel like, a perfect time for Kentucky to have these matchups. They're two teams who aren't on that upper echelon, but they are very talented. And if Kentucky can pick these wins up, it's exactly the steam they're going to need going into March.
Yeah, I agree. I think these kind of teams are having the conference start that we were kind of hoping that we would have. Both of them are winnable despite them being at the top. Both of them are winnable. And if we can get Alabama, then that's one of Ole Miss's losses. So I think we'll have some confidence going into that if we can get Alabama, just knowing that they already beat this same Ole Miss team. So definitely for two sure. Tough ones, but winnable games.
And the other team, one of the other teams that Ole Miss lost to was Auburn, which we lost to by 3 points in one of our worst games of the season. So I think there's no reason for Kentucky to lack confidence going into these games. Especially they've had a week off from their last contest to their upcoming contest against Alabama. Hopefully they've kind of taken that time to tie all the loose ends together.
Absolutely. And I feel like Kyrie Elzy probably has been getting us well prepared for these games. Just based on some of the stuff that we've kind of seen put out there. And then after talking with Maddie, just hearing her talk about the team chemistry as a whole and how that really hasn't, I mean, it doesn't seem like that's a problem at all, which at this mm-hmm. point in the season, you do sometimes see that with teams kind of imploded with internally. So I definitely mm-hmm. think hopefully that we're trending in the right direction where some of these other teams may not be.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, the mantra you've heard over and over from LZ during these press conferences and players is refuse to lose. And over the past two games, I think that attitude's kind of spread. And it's exactly what they need as their season kind of dwindles down here.
Yes, I couldn't agree more.
Well, Alex, unless you have anything else, I guess we can wrap it up here.
Yeah, no, that is all I got.
All right. Well, you know, obviously tune in to the upcoming games for Kentucky women's basketball as their season comes to a close, and it's a narrow race for those SEC seeds. Thank you guys for tuning in. We want to give a special shout out to Tanya Wendt of Rise Up Sports Media. You know, she's out here giving us the Know Her Name title, and we're happy to have it. So thank you all for listening, and, you know, we'll see you next time.